Good Friday is a difficult day. It doesn't fit into our desire for nice, tidy, clean, happy times. We hear of the arrest, the trial, and the crucifixion of Jesus, which is an horrific event. Today's service is only half the story. We gather here this Good Friday to remember that Jesus loves us so much that he gave his life for us. But the story doesn't end with the death of Jesus. On Sunday, we gather again to hear the rest of the story, how God's love overcomes death and restores relationships. At the end of the service, you are welcome to stay and to pray. And when you are ready, please leave quietly out the front doors.
Our call to worship. Come, let us gather to remember the betrayal, abandonment, humiliation and crucifixion of Jesus. We gather to remember overwhelming evidence of love's ultimate sacrifice. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I invite you, if you're able, to stand as we sing The Servant King.
Not to be served, but to serve. be seated.
We come before God with prayer. Gracious and loving God, we have come here to worship, not with cheerful hearts, but with hearts that are heavy, knowing what this day represents. We are here to acknowledge your pain and suffering you endured for love of us. We have come because we need to recognize our part in the human struggle and to express our longing to know in the innermost parts of our being the depth of your eternal love. Compassionate God, touch us now with the wonder of your presence. Draw us into the mystery of this time, so that we might be renewed and restored according to your will. We have few words to offer, merely open hearts and minds to receive you. May we be one, bound by the love of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
We'll be singing the chorus of this next song several times during the service. We invite you to join in each time as you become familiar with it. Please remain seated.
Do not be afraid.
Jesus, I am afraid. Nothing is as it was once. Everything around me is different. So many of the things I have known are under threat or have already disappeared. The world is just not the same as it used to be.
Jesus, I'm afraid. The changes are unsettling and upsetting. And often it feels as if things are spiralling out of control. The comfortable landmarks and signposts are being removed. It's like being in a ship without a sail on a dangerous sea.
Thank you.
After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and Pharisees. And they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was about to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Who are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these people go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck at the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. I am not to drink the cup of which the Father has given me." So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised Jesus it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing aside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "Are you not also one of the man's disciples?" "I am not." Now the slaves and the police made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it warming themselves. Peter was also standing with them warming himself. Peter again denied it, and at once the cock crowed. This is the word of the Lord.
"Jesus, I'm afraid too. I'm afraid of getting sick, being dependent, of the unknown future as my body ages and eventually breaks down. Please let your resurrection story be true and let it be real for me. Please don't let the long sleep of death be all that there is."
Jesus, I'm afraid. The dark clouds of war are around us in Ukraine and beyond. They just won't listen when we plead, look for another way. They will warp the beauty of heaven's precious creation. The heartbreak and pain of your wounded people is and will be hellish and fierce.
Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name.
You are mine.
The reading from John continues. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a rebel. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified.
Jesus, I'm afraid. The past, which I long for, is now irrecoverable. The future, which I imagine, is threatening and insecure. My fear for the present is real. I live and breathe it. In the silence, will you give me heaven's reassurance, and in your mercy, give me heaven's peace?
Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine.
Jesus, we're afraid. God, take our fear away. Let us know the strength of your love. Give us the faith to trust you, and let each one of us here know you and sense you. Convince us that you are always close and near.
Do not be afraid. Your name.
Let us pray. Loving God, there are so many things that cause us to fear, and so many people are anxious or fearful at this time. We think of those in Ukraine and Gaza and ask for your peace to fall over all the land and combatants. Bring wisdom and compassion to the leaders involved. We bring before you those who are anxious about employment, housing, and cost of living pressures. We pray for the planet, that the leaders and people of the world will listen to the wisdom of prophets in this complex time. We pray for those who are facing mental or physical health issues, waiting for treatment, waiting for healing. And we bring before you those who are lonely, grieving, or feel abandoned. Bring a friendly smile and a loving heart to comfort them. Eternal God, when we can be the answer to a prayer, nudge us into a loving action, we pray. In this time of silence, we bring the fears, the hopes, and needs of the world, which are in our hearts. These we bring to you. Lord, in your compassion, hear our prayer. Amen.
Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross, and it read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign because the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Right, the King of the Jews, but this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, divided them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless. It was woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So that's what the soldiers did. Near the cross, Jesus stood with his mother, Mary. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. After this, knowing that all was now completed so that the scripture could be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in the wine, put it on a stalk of hyssop, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be the special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, the Jews asked Pilate to have the legs broken and their bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus and those of the other. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The one who saw it has given testimony to this, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. Now these things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his legs shall be broken. And as another scripture said, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus, to let him remove the body. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. And with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Christ.
Fear makes us do funny things, things we're not proud of, things we regret. Fear makes us blind to the needs and feelings of others. We go into survival mode. Our needs and our wants are of supreme importance. Jesus' disciples were afraid. They'd just seen their teacher, their friend, their Lord arrested. He had been betrayed by one of their group, Judas. In fear, another of the group, Peter, denied knowing Jesus so that he would not be tainted, he'd not be guilty by association, so that he would not be tortured and killed. It was fear for his own safety and perhaps for the safety of family and friends that drove him to do the unthinkable, something that would haunt him forever. The disciples had assured Jesus that they were ready to follow him everywhere, but fear kept them outside the gate of the high priest's house, outside the gate of the court. Fear kept them silent. Fear kept them hidden. And so Jesus was alone, alone in his fear. Alone knowing he'd been betrayed by one friend, that another would deny knowing him, that others would simply run away rather than stand with him. He was alone as he faced the pain of torture, the humiliation of ridicule, and the agony of the cross. He was abandoned by all but a very few of his family and friends. He felt abandoned, even by God. He said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Such utter desolation. Yet we know that Jesus could have avoided the cross if he tailored his message to fit in a bit more with the authorities, massage the truth a bit more, had a bit more tact. He could have avoided the cross if he went far away, when the religious leaders started first getting angry with him. Maybe he could have avoided the cross if he'd given the people what they wanted, a leader to overthrow the Roman occupiers. So why didn't he? Why did he go through all of this, being the focus of anger, hatred, and ridicule? He did it because of love. Love for God and love for us. In weddings, I tell the bride and groom that love is not just an emotion, it's an action. It's putting the needs and wants of the spouse on a par with the, and sometimes even ahead of our own needs. And this, of course, applies to both spouses, not just one. And we do this because of love. We do this because we make a choice. And Jesus made the loving choice. His message, that God loves everyone, was too important not to share with the world. It was too important to fudge. It was too important to tailor the message to fit the ideas of the established authorities. And so, for the love of humanity, Jesus suffered. He suffered the fear that comes from the unknown. He suffered the pain, abandonment, loneliness, until finally it was over and he breathed his last. Amen. We come with God with our prayers of confession. Let us pray. Fear is still very real in our lives, fear of the unknown, fear of change, fear of getting left behind, fear of not mattering to anyone, fear of humiliation, of not having sufficient for our needs, fear of doing or saying the wrong thing, fear of rejection, fear of getting old. We are all exposed to these fears. But one of Jesus' friends, John, wrote that love casts out fear. Jesus loves us enough to die for. He will not forsake us. He will not abandon us, even when we're most afraid and no one else is with us. Jesus is there, in the darkness, in the anxiety, and in the pain. Jesus has promised to be with us always through his Spirit. And so, loving God, in our fear of ridicule, we deny you and go along with the crowd, even when we know we could live more lovingly. In our fear of not fitting in, we abandon you, even though we know we are better with you. In our fear of hurt, we crucify you again and again and make a mockery of your message of love for all. At times, Lord, we pretended not to notice. We've looked the other way when we could have eased someone else's difficulties. More than once we have kept what we have to ourselves, refusing to share, preferring to save, to hoard up in the face of hardship, hunger, and need. At times in our anger and hurt, we've deliberately set out to wound. Our words and our actions were intended to damage. We have things we wish we had not done, and we have secrets in our hearts we are too scared to mention. We repeatedly fail in our good intentions and in heaven's hope for us. And the cost of this is a world containing less love than it ought. Less generosity and less tolerance, less warmth and acceptance, less justice and equality, less encouragement and less interconnection, less happiness, less compassion, and less peace. We are sorry, God. Forgive us. On that first Good Friday, Jesus took the sins of the world to the cross. He prayed, "Forgive them, Father." Let Jesus take away all that stops you from being the person you're created to be, all that stops you from experiencing life in all its fullness. Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We are nearing the end of this Good Friday service. We will sing one more song, and then this service is over. Please remain seated for this. There will be no benediction, as the story doesn't end today here. Remember, we gather again on Sunday morning to continue the journey. Please feel free to stay and sit quietly for a while after the hymn if you wish. Otherwise, just please leave quietly.